Tim Ferriss Audio presents The Tao of Seneca, Practical Letters from a Stoic Master, Volume 1, performed by John A. Robinson, with a foreword by Tim Ferriss.
This is Tim Ferriss speaking, the producer of this audiobook. I'm an author, perhaps best known for books with titles that sound like infomercial products, The 4-Hour Workweek and The 4-Hour Body, which are published in about 45 languages or so. And I am a tech investor, and I've been involved early stage in companies like Facebook, Twitter, Uber, Alibaba, and perhaps 30 others. I only bring up this background because I credit my successes, whatever they might be, in many fields, including those, tango, etc., to Stoicism and to reading the writing of specifically Seneca. And that is why I have put so much time into assembling and compiling this book, and with the help of John, bringing it to you. That is the narrator, John Robinson. Few of us consider ourselves philosophers, of course, and this is usually for very good reasons. Most of us can recall at least one very irritating pseudo-intellectual, probably in college, who dedicated countless hours to some type of philosophical tail chasing. And so we associate philosophy with this type of behavior. For what? Well, maybe this person was debating what is, but somehow posturing as a superior intellect at mealtime or over drinks. It's very irritating. It's very useless, and not unlike the bar scene in Good Will Hunting, perhaps. But it is for academics, and I think it is for theory. These are beliefs that many of us have about philosophy. It's something that you do over wine for fun, but it doesn't apply to real life. Fortunately, there are a few no-nonsense philosophical systems that can produce dramatic real-world effects and results. These were forged and refined in action, sometimes war. Stoicism is, to me, perhaps one of the best examples of that, and that's what we'll focus on. Think of it as an ideal operating system for thriving in high-stress environments. And that is certainly why it's gained a huge foothold in Silicon Valley, as one example, and professional sports. So if you study Stoicism, you'll be in very good company. It's a rule book for making better decisions. It was popular with the educated elite of the Greco-Roman Empire, but Thomas Jefferson also had Seneca on his bedside table. Montaigne had a quote from Epictetus carved into the ceiling of his house where he would see it constantly. Bill Clinton reads Meditations by Marcus Aurelius every year. In the NFL, and this has become big news with an article in Sports Illustrated, management, coaches, and players alike, including teams like the Patriots and Seahawks, have embraced Stoicism because it makes them better competitors. Other proponents include John Stuart Mill and Tom Wolfe. As I record this, you might hear that my voice is a little hoarse. I just finished a 10-day water-only fast, and I don't necessarily recommend doing that, but it's part of a practice that comes directly from the writing of Seneca, specifically letter 18, which you'll hear on festivals and fasting. And here is an excerpt to give you a flavor. Set aside a certain number of days during which you shall be content with the scantiest and cheapest of fare, with coarse and rough dress, saying to yourself all the while, is this the condition I so feared? It is precisely in times of immunity from care that the soul should toughen itself beforehand for occasions of greater stress, and it is while fortune is kind that it should fortify itself against her violence. And it goes on and on. But that particular passage, and there's a lot more context to it, led me to the practice of taking a few days per month to eat the cheapest of food. So for instance, rice and beans. Every meal, rice and beans, costs $1 to $2 a day, if you break it down. Wearing the same clothing, say the same white t-shirt and pair of jeans, remaining unshaven, asking myself all the while, is this the condition I so feared? What does that mean? It means that you are inoculating yourself against unfounded fears. Because when I find myself defensive, fearful of losing whatever success or money or prestige or status I might have, whatever that is, or it could be any number of other types of fears, they're usually nebulous. You worry that your quality of life will drop. You'll be very unhappy. But if you rehearse that condition, the worst case scenario, you realize that it's not that bad. And that is tremendously empowering. It allows you to make better investment decisions. It allows you to take the steps to start your own company, quit your job, start a relationship, end a relationship, because you are rehearsing the worst case scenarios instead of letting them bounce around in your skull in a very unformed, nebulous way. So that is one of dozens of examples that I could give you. The principles are timeless and incredibly practical. And I particularly like Seneca. I love Marcus Aurelius. I love Epictetus. But I particularly love Seneca because it's easy to read, it's pithy, and the practices can be applied directly to your life now. If you were to take some of these letters and replace the names Lucilius and other Roman-sounding names with John, Mary, Edward, they would read like letters from one of your contemporary friends to another. Hey, John, so sorry to hear that you're dealing with that frivolous lawsuit. Let me tell you how I handled this and how I deal with backstabbing in the Senate and give you a few tips. Hey, Mary, I'm so sorry to hear that your friend's mother passed away. Here's how you might console her, etc., etc. They are extremely memorable, and that is because Seneca was one of the most famous playwrights of his day. And that leads to another point. His principles, his philosophies were used on the front lines. He was one of the wealthiest people in Rome, as in effect an investment banker, I suppose you could think of him as such. He was also an advisor to the emperor. That didn't always work out all too well for him, but that's part of Stoicism. The point being that he was world class in several fields. He had to deal with uncooperative, powerful in many cases, human beings all the time. And he was able to do well. And I think that's what separates the philosophers, so to speak, who actually can put rubber to the road and make things happen, and philosophologists, as many other people have said, those people who speculate, the armchair quarterbacks. Seneca was not one of these people. He was getting his hands dirty and doing big things. And the way that I suggest you approach this, and this is certainly the way I have approached it, and many people have, is making Seneca part of your daily practice. And the way that you do that is set aside 10 to 15 minutes a day. For me, it is often walking to get my morning cup of coffee. And I will listen to one letter a day. And this is highly therapeutic. It is highly effective as a habit if you want to be more successful in any area, personal or professional. Stoic principles are often practiced in rehabilitation clinics, for instance, with alcoholics. They don't succumb to impulses. In the most practical sense, I suppose, it does share a lot in common with cognitive behavioral therapy. In a sense, you could think of it as putting the first portion of the Serenity Prayer into action, which reads, there are many translations, of course, as, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Stoicism is the training ground for putting